worship together this morning. Today, on this Monday, the holiest week of the year, we turn our hearts to you, O Lord, the one who loves us with a love far greater than any of us could possibly comprehend. Not only did you leave heaven to become one of us, but you freely and lovingly gave your life for all humanity. As St. Paul reminds us, "For while we were yet weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Help us, we pray, always to remember your sacrifice on our behalf, and empower us to live lives that honor and glorify you, lives of service and sacrifice. Help us to esteem others above ourselves, that we might in some measure bring your love to others. We pray for those in our own college community who need your special touch and grace this morning, those who suffer, those who are sick, those who mourn, those who seek forgiveness from sin, those who seek a closer walk with you. We pray for those whom we do not know and likely will never know. We pray for the hungry, for the poor, for those who suffer from wars, from injustice, from cruelty, from oppression. We pray, Lord, that your love will be manifested in their lives at this very moment today. We ask all this in the name, the powerful name of Christ our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, good morning. My name, for those of you that don't know me, is Owen Dickens, and I'm a professor in the Department of Bible and Theology and Philosophy. And it's my very, very happy task this morning to introduce our chapel speaker, Dr. Victor Hamilton. For many years, he has been my teacher, my colleague, and my friend. Now, Greg Hasselhoff has only allocated about less than 4 minutes for me to introduce the speaker, and in years past, that would be more than enough time because everybody here at Asbury College and throughout Wilmore and way beyond knew Dr. Hamilton well. But since his retirement a couple years ago, some of you might not be quite as familiar with him, so give me just a moment to acquaint you to him. Dr. Hamilton is a native of Toronto, Ontario. He crossed the border to attend college at one of our sister institutions, Houghton College, and from there he traveled even further south to matriculate across the street at Asbury Theological Seminary. And then he culminated his educational career by receiving his PhD at a very, very fine institution, Brandeis University. I say that because I'm also alum of Brandeis. In 1971, at the invitation of our then-president, Dr. Dennis Kinlaw, Dr. Hamilton joined the faculty here at Asbury College. When I think of Dr. Hamilton's divinely given gifts and talents, I'm reminded of an almost forgotten term from the sport of football, used to describe players who are multi-talented. When a player was especially adept at running the football, passing the football, and kicking the football, he might be called by fans and the media a triple threat. Well, I would suggest to you that Dr. Hamilton has long been Asbury's triple threat. First, he served as an outstanding classroom teacher for more than 35 years, inspiring students across the ages. Second, he's a recognized scholar in the field of Old Testament studies. He's published a number of books, articles. He's currently, even in retirement, working on a major commentary on the book of Exodus. And third, as some of you already know, and as all of you will know soon, he is an engaging, spirit-led preacher. I understand that this is, at least by one reckoning or other, his 100th time of speaking here in the Asbury College Chapel. Dr. Hamilton is married to his lovely wife, Shirley. They have 4 children and a sloosh of grandchildren. Now, I don't know exactly how many a sloosh is, but I'm sure he'll tell us when he gets up here. Please receive the word of the Lord on this Holy Monday with attentive ears and expectant hearts.
you guys.
Well, thank you kindly, and I particularly pointed my finger towards the seniors and the juniors, because those of you in front of me and those of you up in freshman land have absolutely no idea who I am. And I'm coming more and more as I walk across campus to sympathize with the words of Jesus when he said, "There stands among you one whom you do not know." So thank you for this invitation, Greg, and anybody else that was responsible for it. And thank you to Andrew and Eli. Good to see you both brothers again, and have a good relationship with them. I want to read a passage of Scripture that many of you might have heard in places of worship yesterday. I'm going to land on the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, and I would like to read the first 10 verses. And my subject for this morning is a theology about donkeys. And as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, or Phage, and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell them, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. And as they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered, just as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. And when they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. And those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." And may the Lord give us his wisdom from this portion of his sacred word. I wonder if you have ever thought about the fact how here and there throughout the Bible, animals pop up and become a part of the narrative. Ask Eve about the snake. Ask Noah about the raven and the dove. Ask Abraham about the ram. Ask Moses about the frogs and the mosquitoes. Ask Balaam about his donkey who spoke fluent Hebrew.
and who was very conversational. Ask Jonah about the fish. Ask Daniel about the lions. Here's one of my favorite. Ask Peter about the rooster. And then ask Jesus about the colt. Repeatedly throughout Scripture, we have animals popping up. I'm almost tempted to write a book on a subject that will take its title from a television program of which you will no longer be aware, I do not think. It's called The Wild Kingdom. Yes, all right. Two of the non-traditional students know it. I think that would be a great Bible theme on God's wild kingdom. And we could go through all of these animals. Now, the thing that particularly attracts me about this colt is that in Mark chapter 11, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone asks you what you are doing, as they untie the colt, tell them the Lord needs it. That's the phrase I'd like to repeat again and again this morning. If anybody asked you what in the world you're doing, tell him the Lord needs it. Matthew has that verse. Mark has that verse. And Luke has that verse. Can you imagine after chapel going up to the parking lot and seeing me trying to get into your automobile? And most of you, at least here and up there, have no idea who I am. Hey, what are you doing trying to get into my car? And I would respond and say, well, Dr. Gray needs it. Oh, okay. And then you walk away. It's kind of unexpected, isn't it, to think of Jesus saying that he needs anything. I mean, you and I, we need so much. We need so much from him. We need so much from each other. There's an old gospel song that goes this way. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. And we're very comfortable. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. But it's strange to think of God's eternal, omnipotent Son saying, if anybody asked you what you are doing, tell him the Lord needs him. And the only other place I'm aware of in the Gospels where Jesus said he needed something or needed to do something, and there may be several that I have skipped, is in the 4th chapter of John, where Jesus said, as he was getting ready to go from the northern part of his country or the southern part of his country to whichever direction it was, he said, I need to go through Samaria. So I'd like to think of this colt as something that Jesus needs. And I'd like to suggest, more importantly than that, is that maybe you and I are individuals whom Jesus needs. To the best of my knowledge, this is the only time in the Gospels we are told that Jesus rode on any kind of a creature. Every other time he walked, he really was, to use a good senior class word, a peripatetic. And he's been walking now for 50, 60, 75 miles, which I suspect very few of us here this morning have topped. I'd hate to go against Jesus in a marathon. And so he's been walking some 50, 60, 75 miles. He's got a mile, maybe a mile and a half to go. And it has nothing to do with the fact that he's exhausted. But for this last mile or a mile and a half of the journey, he says to his disciples that he needs a colt on which he can ride. And I want to suggest to you 4 or 5 reasons why that is the case. One of my favorite poems is that written by G.K. Chesterton. I don't know whether Professor Dan Strait is here this morning or not, but my understanding is that he is a Chestertonaholic. Are you familiar with his poem on the donkey? When fishes flew and forests walked, and figs grew upon thorns, some moment when the moon was blood, then surely I was born with monstrous head and sickening bray and ears like errant wings, the devil's walking parody on all 4-footed things, the battered or tattered outlaw of the earth, of ancient crooked will. Starve, scourge, deride me, I am dumb, I keep my secret still. But fools, for I also had my hour, one far fierce hour and sweet. There was a shout about my ears and palms before my feet. Well, here's 4 or 5 reasons why I think Jesus needed, not just would have liked, but literally needed this colt. And the first is this. Jesus needed this colt in order that a prophecy might be fulfilled and a divine purpose may be realized. To what do I refer? Matthew's account, not in Mark, but in Matthew's account, we read these words. All of this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Zechariah lived about 500 years before the event. But I would suggest to you this morning that long before those 500 years, it was already in the mind of God from eternity that when the day came when his son would come into Jerusalem towards the end of his life, he would be riding on the back of a donkey. And now the eternal mind of God and the prophecy of Zechariah is being fulfilled. But let me suggest to you this morning, if there is a prophetic thought in the mind of God from all eternity about this colt, let me suggest to you this morning that there is another prophetic thought in the mind of God from all eternity, and it's about you and me. Let me read just a few verses that talk about God's eternal plan and purpose for you and me. Here's one, Romans 8:29. I'll never forget this verse because a lady who used to teach here, now retired in her 90s, I believe, said to me one day, everybody I hear quoting Romans 8:28, she said, you're a Bible professor, what's Romans 8:29? And I said, Anne, I'm very thirsty, can I get a drink? Here's Romans 8:29. This is God's eternal plan from all eternity. Not for a cult, but for you and for me. And those whom God foreknew, he has predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. That is God's eternal plan and purpose for you. And God needs you. God needs me in order that that purpose and plan for my life may be realized. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. God chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and to be blameless in his sight. And if you, by God's grace, are walking in the Spirit this morning and living a life that is holy and honoring to God, then you are a fulfillment of prophecy. You are a fulfillment, an incarnation of the plan of God for your life. And Jesus needed this donkey. Here's the second reason. Jesus needed this donkey, although it was a very, very insignificant, ordinary creature. You all know, don't you, what the two most exciting minutes in sport are? And it is what?
Kentucky Derby.
Kentucky Derby. Well, three of you know. Remind me of some of my former students. Yeah, that's one of the big events here in Kentucky, isn't it? The Kentucky Derby. I'm not sure exactly the date this year for the Donkey Derby. And I've seen and I've seen horses on sale at Keeneland in Lexington that bring in millions of dollars. I usually get outbid. I wonder what the going market price is for a donkey at Keeneland. I mean, you can look at a donkey any way you want. Front, back, sideways, and it lacks what I would call presence or charisma. Did you hear about the middle-aged couple, a little younger than that, who had a pretty bad argument, and they were driving through. He was driving, she was a front seat passenger, and they weren't talking to each other, and they were going down a country road, and they came by an old farm, and there were a whole bunch of donkeys and mules and I think a few pigs and some other kinds of animals. And sarcastically, the husband turns to her and says, relatives of yours? Not missing a beat, she said, yes, in-laws. The scripture never says that God needs what is extraordinary. The scripture never says that God needs those who are multi-talented. He needs what is ordinary. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, you know the verse, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame those that are wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame those who think they are strong. I'll tell you what I think Jesus was doing when he chose 12 disciples. I think he was really choosing 12 donkeys. And if you're normal and ordinary and par for the course, Jesus' heart will start to beat and say, you're the kind of person I need. You're the kind of person I need. Number three, Jesus needed this colt, so he sent for it and had it brought to him. I'm sure that Jesus could have simply at the top of his voice said, colt, come forward, like he did to Lazarus. And that little colt would have outran Secretariat. It was a big racing horse from several decades back. Thank you. You are with me. Okay. All right. But no. Jesus sent two of his own, interestingly unnamed. I think it's deliberate that we don't know, because anybody can do this. Go and get a colt. And the heart of Jesus this morning beats for those that he wants to reach out to. And how is Jesus going to get over that hurdle? Well, I guess, and sometimes this may happen, he sovereignly brings them to himself. But more often than not, Jesus will reach the unreached through those whom he's already reached. That's you, and that is I. Number four. I just got one more and I'm finished. Jesus needed this colt, so he made provision for it to be set free. He said to his disciples, go and there you will find a colt. And now listen. And then he said, untie it. Untie it. And then bring it back to me. And I think you would be interested in knowing this morning what other place in the Gospels where Jesus uses exactly the same word. Dr. Dickens, it's lusata, the imperative of luo. Are you impressed? Thank you. I am too. So, it's in the story of Lazarus. Good text for around Easter, isn't it? And everybody remembers the first thing that Jesus said. Lazarus, come forth. But we don't emphasize as much the second word that Jesus said. Because when Lazarus comes forth, I think he comes forth like this. I mean, he's all wrapped up in his grave clothes. And it's difficult to run as a mummy. And so Jesus says a second word. Loose him. Loose him. Untie him. And let him go. And didn't Jesus say in John chapter 8, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. It's one thing to have life, but it's another thing not only to have life, but to have liberty. And Jesus needed this colt, and so he made provision for it to be set free. Just as in his death on the cross, Jesus Christ has made provision for you and me to be set free from anything that binds us and holds us and controls us, but is not honoring to him. And finally, Jesus needed this colt simply because he wanted to use him. And I love the fact that a couple of the Gospels tell us that Jesus came into the city of Jerusalem on the back of a colt that had never been ridden. Could you imagine going out to our equine center here? I guess it's this direction here. You take a friend out for horseback riding, and as you get into the equine center, you see this sign, line number one, for those of you who prefer large horses, we have large horses. Line number two, for those of you who prefer smaller horses, we have smaller horses. Line number three, for those of you who prefer fast horses, we have fast horses. Line number four, for those of you who prefer slower horses, we have slower horses. Line number five. And for those of you who have never ridden a horse, we have horses that have never been ridden. Jesus needed this colt simply because he wanted to use him. But I don't think anybody that day noticed the one that Jesus was using. They noticed only the passenger on top of the colt. And Jesus needs you and me this morning because he wants to use us. Not so that you and I might be impressive, but to simply be an unnoticed vehicle that the Lord Jesus can use to glorify himself and accomplish his purpose. If anybody asks you what you are doing, simply tell him the Lord needs him and you and me. Let's pray together. We need you this morning, Lord. We need your power. We need your presence. We need your spirit. We need your enablement. But in ways that confound our understanding, you also need us, Lord. You could do without us, but you choose to make yourself dependent upon us. And so, Lord, we want to be that donkey this morning that is available for you to use and work in our lives in any way you choose. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.